Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's mid-afternoon on a Saturday, and I sprawl on the red couch with my leg over the Navajo blanket. I tilt my head back and I stare at the popcorn ceiling. My mouth hangs open. My braces are on full display. I sigh. I'm bored. My head comes down and I look around the living room. Nothing feels like fun anymore. The morning has been a roller coaster of excitement, high drama. In my Tomb Raider video game, I have finally managed to get the golden statue behind the high Aztec altar. Euphoria, delight, finally, hours of playing, and it's finally happened. But then another hour of playing video games, and the excitement has worn off. So I pulled on boots and grabbed a football and spent the next 30 minutes throwing spirals through a tire swing. Fantasies have erupted in my mind, complete with the crackle of the AM radio. The lap drops back to pass. The left side breaks down. He rolls right. He fires! Touchdown, Wyoming! Oh my goodness, the kid out of Sheridan, Wyoming has done it again! But then the excitement of my inevitable football career at the University of Wyoming has cooled also. And now I'm bored. My feelings of exhilaration are gone, and I loll on the red couch. And then my mother walks by. "Are you bored, Nevada? I'll give you something to do." And so she pulls the red pig-shaped vacuum cleaner out of the closet. "Here, vacuum the living room and the stairs." Well, in our epistle reading this morning, the Corinthians are bored teenagers sprawled on the red couch. I'm bored. They live in a culture of excitement and high drama. The esoteric babblings of mystery religions, the strange mumblings of oracles, the crisscross of culture in a large city. And as Christians, then, they revel in the exhilaration of breathtaking spiritual gifts, gifts like tongue speaking, prophecy, miracles. But without feverish elation, the Corinthians loll on the red couch, bored. They need constant stimulation, constant entertainment. And they imagine then that everything in the Christian life, including love, its central plank, is about the euphoria of their desires. And of course, this morning we sprawl with the Corinthians on the red couch, our leg hefted over the Navajo blanket. We too live in a culture of excitement and high drama. The esoteric babblings of economists and political protesters, the strange mumblings of talking heads from cable news, the crisscross of culture on the internet. We need constant stimulation, constant entertainment. We measure our lives by the amount of elation we feel. And not surprisingly, like the Corinthians, we imagine that everything in the Christian life, including love, the central plank of human existence, is about the euphoria of our desires. For us, love's authenticity is found in the rush of thrilling impulse and the warmth of sentiment. We hear, "Love God and neighbor." And before we know it, we're throwing footballs through tire swings to the imagined crackle of the AM radio. "The secularists have shut us down. Now they're hounding us on social media. What a play! Now we're giving all of our money to the soup kitchen downtown. Touchdown, Anglicans!" Feels good to be a martyr. Feels good to be a hero. This must be love, this feeling of doing something for another, or this just euphoria, excitement. And of course, we bring these same kinds of imaginings to our family and our romantic relationships, intoxicated by our feelings. We all know the family martyr. We all know the family hero. And we all know about imagining love as only a feeling. We believe in our culture that love is about fulfilling our emotional needs and desires. The desire to be a hero, a martyr, or whatever. We believe love is about us and how we feel. But as we stare at the popcorn ceiling, as our mouths open, the braces are on full display, our feelings wane. The excitement dissipates. I'm bored. And as we sprawl on that red couch with the Corinthians, the triune God walks by. Are you bored? I'll give you something to do. Because love is not about what you feel. Love is about what you do. And so the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit, hands us the little red pig vacuum cleaner. Here, vacuum the living room and the stairs. St. Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, hero of the people, and if I deliver my body to be burned, martyr to the secularists, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love's authenticity is not measured by how we feel. The feverish pitch of our emotional needs to be something like a hero, a martyr, a lover, what have you. Love is about what we do. As the Anglican theologian and priest Martin Thornton once said, "Christian love, rather than mere emotionalism, is a volitional virtue demanding discipline and sacrifice." The triune God demonstrates this vacuuming with a few passes. See, this is how you do it, like this. Love is about attending to others and their true needs, not necessarily their perceived or wanted needs, but their true needs. Love is patient. Love is kind, writes St. Paul. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The triune God gives us bored teenagers something to do that's not dependent upon our feelings or even our fantasies. True love. Be patient with your ailing father who keeps repeating the same stories over and over and over. Because love manifested as patience is not about how you feel in that moment. Love is what you do in that moment. Be kind to the little boy who keeps throwing your newspaper in the bushes. Kindness is not about how you feel in that moment. How many times have I told him on the driveway? Kindness or love manifested as kindness is what you do in that moment. When your friend gets a raise, host the party. Boast about her accomplishments. Because love is not about how you feel in that moment. The disappointment that you did not get the raise. Instead, love is about what you do in that moment. Love never ends, says St. Paul. As for prophecies, they will pass. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Feelings and drama will pass. They're not necessarily wrong, but they will pass. True love remains. And so this morning, the triune God is walking by the red couch. Are you bored? I'll give you something to do. It's time to grow up. It's time to stop making everything about you and your fantasies. It's time to vacuum the floor and find that in doing so, you are actually enacting my love, Jesus' love, in the world. What will we do? There's that wretched little red pig vacuum cleaner. Will we love? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.